956 or go to northeastmenshealth.com. We have 5 offices across the Northeast to serve you.
You're listening to Mornings with Gary Byron, the Republican voice of reason, only on the Talk of Connecticut Radio Network.
So I guess the big question for a lot of people is, are you going to get the new jab? Will you get it? If you had the jab back a couple years ago when it first came out, would that prompt you to get the new jab? If you had the jab and a booster or 2 or 3 or 8 or 10 or 50, I don't know how many boosters are up to now. I mean, you know, good God.
Man.
Will you continue to get it? How about this? If you've never had the jab the COVID jab in the past, would this be the one that you get? Is this the one you're waiting for? I'm curious. You know, because for me, and by the way, I'm not an anti-vax person. I've had vaccinations. I went to school. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. You couldn't even get into school without having, what are some of these things?
The measles,
I had all those.
Polio.
But a lot of those, they were vetted. They went through their, you know, 20-year experimental phase, right? You know, that's, what do they call it? We'll find out from our guest. This one was kind of rushed. And it, quite frankly, I don't know what the hell it is. And I got to tell you something. Seeing kids or athletes in their 20s and early 30s keel over, could something odd happen? Couldn't some athlete or some youngster have some rare form? Sure. So if it happened once or twice, you know, years, maybe that person has something. But when it's happening routinely, don't you just scratch your head and go, there's something up here. I wonder if that person had the jab. And I call it the jab, not a vaccination, because they have to change the definition of what a vaccination is. They have to change the parameters just to accommodate COVID. Yeah, you can't do that. That's why, by definition, they can call it whatever they want. You know, I'm not calling it a vaccination. Good morning. It's Gary Byron, 7-Eleven here on this Free For All Friday. Our first guest into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair is an internist, a cardiologist, and an epidemiologist. He manages common infectious diseases as well as the cardiovascular complications of both the viral infection and the injuries developing after the COVID-19 vaccine. He's over in Dallas. Since the outset of the pandemic, he has been a leader in the medical response to the COVID-19 disaster. I'm not using the word pandemic. I'm using disaster, because it was a disaster in many ways, including economically.
Yeah, more ways than one, yeah.
Let's welcome into the Daily Connerton Memorial Company interview chair, Dr. Peter McCullough. Doc, good morning.
Thanks for having me. I'm on the road right now, just so you know, in Dallas. I'm actually on my way to the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons meeting in Fort Worth, and that is the medical group in the United States in March of 2023 that said, pull the vaccines off the market. The COVID vaccines aren't safe.
They're not. No. Well, okay. Have a good night, everybody. All right. Well, first of all, drive safely. I hope you can drive and talk on the phone at the same time. See, in Connecticut, you'd get busted for that. But in Dallas, in Texas, I think maybe not as strict as laws as we have here. But let's start with this. We've heard the acronyms mRNA, right? We heard mRNA and spike protein. Can you just take a minute before we get into the nitty-gritty of this conversation and explain what these are and why they're so dangerous here?
What Pfizer and Moderna are is they are synthetic genetic code called messenger RNA. So it's not normal human code. It's synthetic code, and it codes for the spike protein or that spindle or spine on the surface of the virus. The spike protein was engineered in the biosecurity lab in Wuhan, China. So that spike protein is not natural. The body can't break it down, and it causes damage in organs all through the body. So giving a vaccine that's the genetic code for the spike protein was very risky because we can't shut off the genetic code. In fact, Carrico and Wiseman just received the Nobel Prize for modification of the messenger RNA to make it indestructible, which is a terrible idea when it's a vaccine. A vaccine, you want to take a shot and get it in and out of your body. You don't want it to last for months, if not years. Yet now multiple studies showing these vaccines build up in the body. You can't get rid of them.
I've heard you speak of the four major domains of the disease. Can you go into those briefly?
The four areas summarized in 3,400 papers in the peer-reviewed literature on vaccine injuries include the heart, myocarditis, forms of blood pressure and heart pounding, problems called POTS or posterior orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, cardiac arrest that can occur with or without myocarditis. Now that's been shown. And you're right, the record cardiac arrests that we're seeing are due to the vaccine. Neurologic forms of stroke, Guillain-Barré syndrome, neuropathy or problems with numbness and tingling in the hands and feet, and thrombotic blood clots like we've never seen before. The spike protein is found in the blood clots. So we know the spike protein is directly related to the blood clots, is physically in the blood clots. And then the last area is immunologic, immune systems. You may have heard of Megyn Kelly on TV confronted former President Trump and says she has an immune system autoimmune problem from taking the vaccine.
That she never had before. How is the spike protein causing all these, though?
The spike protein is, when it's produced in some cells, its first activity is expressed on the surface of the cell, and so the body recognizes that as foreign. So the body makes antibodies against its own cells and starts to attack itself. It's called autoimmunity because the human body should never be given code, genetic code, for a foreign protein. We only process genetic code for normal human proteins, not foreign proteins from a Chinese biosecurity lab.
Here's a term I heard recently, and I was asking my producer, Jimmy J, this morning if he even heard of it, shedding. And he said he hasn't. Can you explain what shedding is? I only heard about it this morning while I was doing some prep work.
There have been now several manuscripts, one by Castri Yuda, another one by Crossan and colleagues from Harvard, showing the messenger RNA, Pfizer, Moderna, is stuck in the human body at least for a month, maybe longer. And so that messenger RNA is moving around in the body, either on the original lipid nanoparticles or in little bubbles called exosomes. The spike protein also is produced in the body. It's in huge concentrations. It's actually circulating in the bloodstream for 6 months after someone takes a shot, or longer. That's as long as they've looked. So this is disturbing. Someone takes a shot, that spike protein, which is lethal, is circulating in their bloodstream. A paper by Brookman and colleagues showed that at least for 6 months. So if it's in the blood, that means it gets into sweat, oral secretions, general secretions, exhaled breath. So, you know, we have very good data now. Two papers showing the messenger RNA is in breast milk. Well, if it's in breast milk, then it means it's going to be in sweat and other secretions. Mm-hmm. So people almost certainly are shedding both the messenger RNA and the spike protein onto other people with close contact. And it probably is very close contact, kissing, sexual contact, close, you know, face-to-face contact over a period of time. But that gives people the creeps of those who didn't want to take the vaccine. The 25% of Americans, including you and me, we didn't take the shots.
Nope, I didn't. But how does this pass the government muster? I mean, they're a lot. Not only are they allowing this, they're encouraging this. And if they know all this, and doctors such as yourself who are experienced epidemiologists, and how are they allowing this to even pass through?
The way the vaccine is set up, it's not a commercial product directly from Pfizer and Moderna. If the government has purchased these products under emergency use authorization, they're government property. So the FDA appears to be applying a different standard to these products. They don't seem to care about any of these safety issues. If it was any other drug or product that a company sold, it'd be pulled off the market. It should have been pulled off the market in December 2020 or January 2021. But the government's using a different standard under emergency use authorization, which is like a military standard.
Right, right.
And they have a willful blindness to these cardiac arrests, blood clots, and all these problems we see in practice.
Yeah, I noticed that. But aren't doctors coming forward and saying, what in the hell are you doing, government? You can't lower the standards. This is what's happening. This is proof. We see this going on. And yet you're still encouraging people to get this injection. You need to stop. I mean, isn't that what your doctors are supposed to do and not allow this? There's actually doctors that are on board with this. How can they be on board with this?
Well, many doctors are not. You know, I know I personally have come forward in 3 U.S. Senate sessions. I've told the Senate that these vaccines are not safe. They should be pulled off the market. Multiple state senates. I recently was in the Arizona Senate last week. I've testified in the European Parliament, shortly in the United Kingdom Parliament. All over the world, there's calls for these vaccines to be pulled off the market. Now, the problem is a lot of the doctors took the shots themselves, and I think they're scared to death now learning people can have a cardiac arrest 2 years after taking the shot.
But they're smarter than that. Why would they this is what I don't understand. With all the knowledge that they have, why would they allow themselves to get this jab, to get this injection, when they know that it didn't even fulfill the normal protocol that any other vaccination has to fulfill?
We had unprecedented financial incentives to keep pushing the shots. The health systems received a ton of money.
There you go.
Doctors' practices received money to achieve certain quotas. There's all kinds of inducements. And I think a lot of doctors have been told they need to toe the line whether they like it or not.
So then how much is your life worth? I mean, if these doctors apparently are selling, if I'm understanding you correctly, they'll allow their own lives, since you said they themselves have received the injection and they're getting frightened because of financial incentives. So that means they're putting a price on their own lives, right?
It's true. Some doctors in some countries they have to take it mandatorily. In Canada, just north of you, there are well-documented 180 dead Canadian doctors after the shot.
Oh,
this has all been written up and submitted to Canadian authorities and saying, listen, the doctors took the shot and they died. And here's the information. And the Canadian health authorities, the Royal College and Health Canada, are showing no concern at all.
You know, when you see video of doctors, of the president or his cabinet members and those of in governmental authoritative positions receive this jab, is it a placebo? Is it the real a serum of this, well, what they're calling a vaccination? Or is this all smoke and mirrors? Is this all fake that they're getting?
No, I think they're getting the real shot. I mean, there's a lot of examples. The Princess of Thailand took the shot, and she developed myocarditis, had a cardiac arrest, and in a coma. Look what happened. Megyn Kelly. Other people won't admit it, but it's obvious. Justin Bieber's face is paralyzed. Jamie Foxx, stroke. And we can go on and on. Bruce Arians, coach of the Bucks, has myocarditis, hospitalized. Al Roker, weatherman, blood clots, hospitalized. Kirk Herbstreit, same thing, blood clots, hospitalized. I mean, we can go on and on. I think they're getting the real thing.
All right, so now that you've terrified us, Doc, please go into your detox.
Well, what we've decided is that, listen, the human body cannot get rid of this spike protein. That's what's causing the problem. We've got to help the human body get rid of it. There's two natural enzymes that help greatly, natokinase and bromelain. They're available as oral supplement capsules, and then we combine that with curcumin, which works against the inflammation from the spike protein. This is all supported from high-quality preclinical studies and with human randomized trials. So we published this proposal. It's called Base Spike Detoxification McCullough Protocol. And this it combines nattokinase 2,000 units twice a day, bromelain 500 milligrams a day, and curcumin 500 milligrams twice a day. And it's got to be taken for 3 months to a year, but we're consistently seeing patients improve. I can't make any therapeutic claims because there are no large prospective randomized trials. The Biden administration spent $1 billion on long COVID, not a single protocol or new drug. So the McCullough Protocol, BSD, base spike protein detox, became the world standard. I held a call recently with the doctors in the United Kingdom, a large number of them, and they all said patients are getting better slowly.
Okay.
The headaches, the numbness and tingling, heart pounding, it's all going away by using these supplements. Sometimes we add prescription drugs, but it's great now that we've got an answer for patients because the panic level really had risen to a tremendous degree over the summer. We published this in August of 2023.
Where do people go to get this detox?
They can get the components at the wellness company, twc.health.com. I advise that company as a chief scientific officer. You can buy it at any online retailer like Amazon or any natural food supplier. Nattokinase, bromelain, and curcumin. If you want to see the protocol, go to my website, petermccullohmd.com, and that'll take you to the, you know, the scientific references for doing this. But we are routinely recommending this in our practice, and we are seeing people get better. We have to tell them, listen, it takes time, so be patient.
Let's just go back a few years to the early stages of this jab here. I remember doctors reporting on it and being anti-vaccination, and their videos were once on YouTube and then were taken down, and they were being stifled and told not to speak up. And when they did, they were being chastised and silenced. Were you witness to any of this yourself? Were any threats made against you since you're so outspoken on this topic?
I had a YouTube video taken down early in 2020, and that was just reviewing my research on treating COVID. It was before the vaccine. So the censorship started by trying to crush any forms of treatment, including dilute iodine nasal sprays, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, budesonide, colchicine, vitamin D, even monoclonal antibodies. Any information on treatment was crushed in social media, particularly YouTube, Google, originally Twitter before Elon Musk took over. And what we learned is that there's a worldwide censorship initiative called the Trusted News Initiative. And all the companies signed it, and they said that they were going to intentionally try to push everybody into mass vaccination by censoring any hope of early treatment and any information on vaccine safety.
Have you ever felt your life in jeopardy? Have you been threatened personally as an epidemiologist who's going against the grain on this topic?
I've never had anybody of my standing, a professor of medicine, chief of medicine, a division chief, actually confront me and tell me that I'm wrong. When I testified 3 times in the U.S. Senate, Anthony Fauci, Walensky, Xia, Murthy, they were all invited, and they were basically afraid to face me. They never faced me in the U.S. Senate. So I can tell you right now, no, I've never been threatened because I've been right about treating patients early to prevent hospitalizations and deaths, that the vaccines are not safe, and they're not, and that now we have a way to get people out of this with McCullough Protocol-based spike detoxification. So I've actually never been confronted, and I'm on national TV most every day of the week for the last 4 years.
Yeah, I know you are. That's how we heard of you. Then I'm going to ask you point blank, with everything that Dr. Fauci has touted for years, is he misleading the citizens
of the world. I was going to say of the country, but he's being looked upon and heralded as a veteran of the industry and with great respect across the political spectrum. He's been under the George Bush administration, the Obama administration. He's been there for years. Is he purposely misleading the people, Doc?
Anthony Fauci, who's now retired from the National Institute of Allergy and Immunology, the NIH, he just received an award for ethics from Case Western Reserve University. And at the same time, July 11th, 2023, the House of Representatives Select Coronavirus Committee, led by Brad Wenstrup, has indicated that Fauci intentionally lied and deceived the entire world on the origins of SARS-CoV-2. He told us it came out of nature. In fact, he knew it came out of the lab with research that he was involved with Ralph Baric and the Chinese. And so it was a U.S.-Chinese collaboration. Fauci was part of it, and he intentionally deceived the world and attempted to cover up, and he's been deceptive the entire time on suppressing early treatment and on suppressing information on vaccine safety.
Thank you very much. Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, MD.com, thank you for being with us this morning.